Realize meeting face to face. face, I'm yours. Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive.
I will rise when he calls my name. The Lord's so much for all that you are, all that you do in our lives. And thank you that you bring us together now in freedom to rejoice in you. Father, I pray that today's message will come straight into the core of us, that we'll hear you through Scotty's delivery. And Lord, that you would just tell us what it is that you want us to grow in Jesus' name.
Crashed. Hold on.
Well, we're in the middle of our series on fresh starts. We're talking about we have six people in the New Testament. And for 6 weeks, we talked about six fresh starts. And every person that we're going to talk about this week is completely different. Because last week we had five men, one woman, two from three different religions, three different nations. Rich, poor, happy, sad. Now we got all sorts of people.
There we go.
A fresh start. They encounter Jesus in a different way. We're all different. We come to Jesus in a different way. We start this new year, and as we hope we have a fresh start with the Lord, whatever context that means for us, I think we're just blessed by the Lord. So we're fresh for this year. Paul says his mercies are new every morning, and he's got something new for us. So our faith doesn't have stale. God wants to do something great for us. And so this week we're going to be talking about someone that I actually sing about almost every day. Not because I'm a singer, not because I do something like the guy, but because I'm a dad. But my 2-year-old Ben and I, we sing Zacchaeus was a little man was he? And all the time. I'm not going to sing one tree, the Lord wanted to see. And then my son's favorite part, when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I feel really awesome about being there in front of all you guys. One thing I'm going to see is that about Zacchaeus is that his fresh start was very successful. At the end of Zacchaeus' story, which is really actually pretty short, at the end, Zacchaeus is happy. Jesus is happy. It's a great big happy fest. And it's kind of right on the heels of when Jesus encountered a blind beggar with a similar ending. A blind beggar called on Jesus and didn't pray. But that was almost right on the heels of something that wasn't so great. Jesus encountered a rich young ruler, and it says both that man and Jesus both went away sad. The fact is that a fresh start comes with lots of decisions. Maybe you had a decision, maybe you had an idea to start this year on maybe an exercise routine. And so everything like that came with a bunch of decisions. You said, okay, so do I start like on actually January 1st, or is that like a holiday? How much am I going to do each day? What about the weekends? What about my birthday? All these decisions. Decisions, your fresh start could lead to a great happy ending, or as we'll see, and as even in the Bible tells us, some things could lead to great frustration in our faith. So we're going to see, well, what did Zacchaeus do that ended so well compared to what the rich young ruler did, where he was greatly frustrated in his attempt to have a fresh start in Jesus. So if you'd like to follow along, you're going to be Luke chapter 19, I'll not put all the words on the screen, but if I can follow along. Yeah. Now before we go through the story of Zacchaeus, to really catch the importance, you really need to know two things. I'm going to give you enough of each of them to catch everything. But we really need to understand the context of Zacchaeus' life and the context of Zacchaeus' story, where he encountered Jesus in the Bible. So first, Zacchaeus' life. A few things about who Zacchaeus was. First of all, Zacchaeus was a Jew. He was one of God's people. He lived in Jericho, a city full of Jews, a city full of who were sons of Abraham. So when you hold the Jew, you get the little accountant like that all the time. Next, he worked for Rome. He worked for the bad guys. Okay? So like Rome came over here to conquer Ohio, and one of your friends worked for Rome, then you'd be like, dude, you're working for the bad guys. What are you doing? Okay? Next, he was considered an outsider. Even though he was a Jew, he should have been like his brothers, and then he was considered an outsider.
Master, what must I do to inherit
eternal life. He's asking a really good question. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know the law. Jesus quotes basically the five man-centered parts of the law. He says, you don't commit adultery, you don't murder, you don't lie, you don't steal, you honor your father and your mother. And he says, oh, these I've already done. Okay, is there anything else? I'm doing great. Jesus says, okay, there's one more thing you need. And you can just like see this like overachiever saying, okay, I'm going to do one thing. What else? What else is there? Whatever it is, you've got it. We'll do anything. Says, you just sell all your possessions, give to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, and follow me. And it says, he went away sad. And it also says that Jesus became sad. And he says, oh man, people are standing there, they're just solace and his disciples. Says, man, how hard it is for a wealthy person to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Man, how hard it is. It's like, it would be easier to take that camel over there and stuff it through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And the people there are standing around, they're like, oh my goodness. Well, then who could possibly be saved? Because we got a lot of money. And that guy wouldn't be sad. He was doing a pretty good job on the other stuff. And Jesus says, well, the things that are impossible for man are possible for God. But you're still just kind of left with just like not good feeling. It's like, okay, so that was an example of what's not possible. I sure wish we could have had an example of what it is possible. But the story just sort of ends like that. And then Jesus moves on. And he travels. And he just travels. And he's almost to Jericho. And there's one last piece of context. So Jesus runs into this blind beggar. He doesn't run into him, actually. The blind beggar basically chases him down. So Jesus is traveling. He's walking down the road. Just like we see throughout the Bible, Jesus doesn't ever just travel, okay? He probably doesn't walk silently very long, okay? I can just see Jesus walking, there's like a rock, and he like makes a lesson out of it, something about the kingdom of God, and people are trying to hear, and they're crowding around. And then there's this blind guy on the side of the road. And he can't see. He's probably near the beginning of the entrance of Jericho, because that would be where people would be going in and out. You'd have the most chances to get help from people who were walking by. And he would ask for alms. He would ask for help. And so, strangely, not just a family, not just a few people, but this huge crowd is coming by. So he asked, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. These are all the people going away. He's like, Jesus of Nazareth? This is like my chance. He's like, Jesus! Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me! And so all the people are starting to like hear Jesus teaching and stuff. And he's like, son of David, have mercy! They're like, dude, shut up, I'm trying to hear. I'm like, come on, man. And he just keeps yelling and yelling. And but that doesn't stop. He just becomes more aggressive. He's like, this is my chance. This might be my only chance. He just goes louder. He's like, son of David, have mercy on me. Please, please, have mercy on me, son of David. And Jesus hears it. He's like, what's going on? It's like, there's a beggar asking for me. So Jesus says, well, bring him over here. Just imagine if you're that beggar. He's like, Jesus called for you, get up. They take him by the arm, they bring him over there, and Jesus says, what do you want from me? And the blind guy says, Lord, please let me recover my sight. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Your sight is recovered. And he gets his sight back right there in front of everyone, and he goes leaping and jumping and praising God all the way into Jericho. In fact, probably by the time Jesus runs into Zacchaeus, he's probably told half the town about his story, right? It's just this, he's kind of like this walking testimony. And then how Jericho was lit on fire, all of this famous guy's coming, and now he's got a blind guy who's just sitting outside the gate, he's hopping, and he's singing, and it's such a story. And then we come to Zacchaeus. He hears the story. And this is it. It says, Jesus entered Jericho. He was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came out at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began. a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That is Zacchaeus' story. So, you're Zacchaeus, alright? You're wealthy. This is your town, your chief tax collector. Probably not much happens in this region here. Jesus is coming into town, okay? You've heard about this guy. Jesus is already famous at this point. Probably most of Jericho already knows who he is, and they don't. By the guy, they've been coming down, and all of them earlier just saw what happened. They probably let you know what's going on. So there's probably such a crowd. And Zacchaeus says he was a shorty, all right? He wasn't that big. So it's like there's a crowd, all trying to hear Jesus talking. So this little guy, you just see, like, you know, the guy that's short, you don't like him very much. You see him, like, trying to get in, and they're like, "Oh, man. Not getting in here." And something happens. He does kind of like the blind beggar. People are like, "No, man, shut up. No, man. I'm not going to let you in. I want to hear Jesus too." What he does is, he does something that would not have been common for a wealthy man in his day. He ran ahead. Now, does that mean you just walk fast, hurry? Maybe we don't know. But it says he ran ahead. But back then, they were in a honor, shame culture. If you're an old man or a rich man of some respect, especially if you're wealthy, you don't run, okay? People run for you. So for him to run ahead, he's basically putting his pride aside because something more important is here. Okay? And then he's looking around, he's like, "What am I going to do? How am I going to see Jesus? How am I going to see it?" And he sees the tree. Okay? He's like, "Oh, I bet I could get up in that thing and see Jesus coming." So then he does a really respectable thing, okay? This man, water, climbs up in a tree. Now, Zacchaeus is rich. What kind of clothes is he wearing? Tree climbing clothes? He's wearing nice clothes, okay? Probably two robes. If it was hot, he probably had two layers. He probably had an underlayer and a nice overlayer. If it was cold, he probably had a fancy thing even on top so he could be there. So, a respected man is climbing up in a tree with robes on, okay, nice clothes. And he's just doing whatever he can to see Lord, the Lord's coming this way. And then imagine, he's up there in the tree, and the crowd is coming this way, and finally the crowd getting closer and closer, and then right in the middle, where everyone's looking, is the guy, and it has to be him. And for the first time, he sees the guy he's heard about. He's heard stories, he's heard some of his teachings, people have been, by word of mouth, passing things on. He's hearing him now, and for the first time, he lays his eyes on Jesus, the Savior. It's like when the blind guy said, "Okay, Jesus, the guy, your only chance, he's calling for you." "What? Jesus calling for you? You're going to help me get to Jesus? You're going to bring me to Jesus?" And he gets down in front of Jesus, and then Jesus talks to him, "What do you want?" Okay? And he's like, "Well, let me come in a second." Jesus heals him, and he opens his eyes, and the first thing he sees is Jesus, the Savior. It's almost like Zacchaeus is right there in the tree, and that's why, like, that's the Savior. First time you ever laid eyes on him. And just like the blind beggar, Jesus walks right up to him, and he knew his name, he said, "Zacchaeus, right from now, I must stay in your house." Isn't that just like Jesus? He just speaks with authority like that. "I must stay in your house." Now, I don't know if, like, God told him, or the Father told him that, "Hey, you're going to see a guy in a tree, and his name is Zacchaeus, and part of your mission to see if the lost is to go stay in this guy's house." Or I don't know if Jesus just knew his name. Or I don't know if he's come up close to the tree and people are making fun of the guy that they don't like. I don't know what the story is, but I just almost hear that sense of Jesus' mission. "I'm going to stay in your house today, Zacchaeus. I'm here for people like you. Like, let the blind man see me. But I'm here to see you, Zacchaeus." And he says he comes down the ladder. And Zacchaeus takes him to his house. And you could just, I mean, it doesn't say it. I don't want to be like unfair, like maybe the text say something it doesn't. But you can just see how it's going to be. Okay. He's probably got one of the nicest houses in town. Okay. And it says that the people are muttering. Probably not something new. You probably don't get to be the chief tax collector without having a thick skin, right? He's been in his own house. He brings Jesus back. The crowd's following. Everybody thinks they're like, "Oh, man, I don't know what Jesus Zacchaeus was a servant, he didn't have life. Jesus was a sinner. But then Zacchaeus does something different. He does something that the richer ruler did not do. And it says, oh, look, I'm going to cash everything I own before. And if I cheat anyone, I'm going to make it right, right now. Okay? Someone asked this question. Why did you give the stuff away to the poor? It's a challenge. I mean, if someone famous came to town right here, we got David Crowder coming this summer. Okay? To rock the lake. Isn't that awesome? David Crowder, after the concert, he was like, hey, you want to make something to eat? I mean, after dinner, you would be like, hey, David, I'm giving away half of my stuff, man. I mean, you can only have something to guess before, you bring out the money, right? But no, Zacchaeus said, look, Lord, I'm giving away half my stuff, and I'm making things right. Why would you do that? It's not just honoring your guest. It's got to be because he heard Jesus' message. It's got to be because whatever people fired him that said, I've got to hear this guy, I've got to get close to this guy. Whatever Jesus was saying, he did something inside of him. He took action. And he did something that essentially is a result of Jesus saying, salvation has come to this house. And being a joyous ending. The opposite ending of what the rich young ruler did. The rich young ruler was like, I'm doing stuff. And just didn't go there. And I was trying to think this way. How can I show it? These two extreme opposites. Because just saying that, it doesn't say. It doesn't explain what happened there. What are the greatest opposites in the entire universe? And I thought, I know the greatest opposite in the entire universe. I've been to California in the West Coast, and let me tell you something. They think they know about football. They have no idea about football there. Just because they get beat up by Texas a couple times, they think they don't know. They lived in Georgia for a while, they think that they have this big rivalry with Alabama. You don't know about those rivalries, man. Don't tell me about Georgia and Alabama. But here, man, here is a completely different. I put my only CD sweater I have, so I wouldn't ruin the mic. So here, it's like we have a rivalry that people have been trampled over, right? And the rival here, it's like trying to get tickets for you. Right? Yeah. Rival here, it's like go to any grocery store and try to find a bag of chips that they have. You won't do it because the rival just affects the state so much. That's just how intense this rival is. But let me ask you something. Let's just say that I just moved here from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Just moved here, okay? And I'm trying to make friends with you guys, and I really like you guys, okay? And I just noticed that a lot of you guys are so high-pitched, and I don't know why, I don't understand. You start talking to me, I start hearing your message, it starts to make sense, and I get it. And after a while, I don't know what happens in here, I just start to like Ohio State. I just like it now. I don't know. I'm weird now. And so, this is what I want to do. Okay? I'm like the Richard Rule. I come to you, okay? And I say, I want to be an Ohio State guy like you. Okay? Like you and your family. I want to be an Ohio State guy. How can I do that? What do I need to do? Well, okay, I'm going to go celebrate the games with you guys, and you celebrate. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. Am I good now? Could I just come be an Ohio State guy? No. Why not? What's wrong? Well, you also have to, you have a love of, yeah, I love Ohio State. I love them. I'm with you. I truly do. I just love them. Well, you have a roof for them too. I do roof for them. If I end now, can I show up at your party? If I show up at your house like this, would I be okay? Did anything still wrong? Oh, I also have to wear the clothing. Okay. Tell you what, cooked, my dad gave me this hat. Okay? I've been wearing it every year of my whole life. I'm going to take it off. I'm going to sacrifice for the team. Now can I come to your party? Can I come now? Why not? Is there anything that's wrong? This is the rich young ruler. Okay? Rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what must I do? I want to join the team. I'll do anything. I'll even give up the stuff. I'll be a good boy. I'll do everything I can. Look, I'll even wear the yay Jesus hat. Okay? And I am just will. This is how committed I am to you, Lord. Jesus said, you're still lacking. Even though you don't see it, you think you've gone so far. You think you've gone so far, you still lack something. He's like, there's one more thing you still lack. And I think some of us know some of this, because I know me. You know me. Some things are lack. It's like, Lord, I want to be on your team. I'll do anything. Just tell me. I'm coming to ask you. It's like, I am on Jesus' team now. I'm going to show up at your party. And I want to wear this stuff. And I guess, mostly your stuff and almost everything. Except, sometimes TV at night, sometimes we're doing what I want. It's just little things, Lord. It's not that big of a deal. I'm just going to wear this shirt sometimes at your party. Is that okay, Lord? Okay. I got this girlfriend, but she loves you too. She wears the hat too. I'm probably going to be married to something anyway, so I'm probably just going to fool around with something. It's probably okay, Lord. I'm only going to wear one piece of this clothing. I'm mostly wearing this clothing. Is that okay, Lord? It's like, okay, I work, I work most of the time. Most of the time, I'm like, so like, yeah, you have a stick. But, when the guys start talking, we gotta have guy talk sometimes. We gotta do our things sometimes. And they know I wear this hat. So I'm just being one of the guys. It's just a little thing. Because he's that exact case he did. And I want to share something with you from James. This is not a shame on you message. This is a how to escape frustration message. This is what James, this is the brother of Jesus, he said this. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He says this. He says, well, you ask if you don't receive it because you ask wrong, you spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. Don't you know the friendship of the world is enmity with God? For whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself to be the enemy of God. Do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the scripture says that God, he is jealous over the spirit he has inside you? He's jealous for you. He's jealous for you. That's how much he loves you. Oh, but he gives so much more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Oh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to him. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Anyone who is double-minded. He said, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be frustrated if you try to show up at the party like this. It's going to be like a rich young ruler situation if you try to live your faith like this. If you try to have 2016, where it's like, I'm going to go to the party, I'm going to pray a new one of these, and just sometime I'm going to have some of this. But it's going to be frustrating. It's like later, it's like, feel guilty. I feel I'm trying to be on this team sometimes. I show up at this party. There was something about this. I show up at this party and you're just uncomfortable around this. It just doesn't work. So what we have to do, what God calls us to do, is the slide is there off. So Zacchaeus says, you know what, Lord, whatever it takes, I am going to take the entire whole life, the whole box, and put it in that, Lord. You know what, I'm signing up for the team. I'm giving away the life. I'm giving away to someone else. I'm giving away whatever really good. And I'm just going to put on my jersey. And I'm going to wear it everywhere. And I'm not going to get rid of my old friends from here. I'm going to tell them all about you. I'm going to tell them what I'm going to tell them about you. I'm just going to do it. I'm just all in, Lord. I'm just all in here. And you know what? No frustration. My fresh start, I can just completely live a fresh start. When I show up at this party, I'm like, you are on our team. You look like us, you're talking to us, you love the things that we love. That's Zacchaeus. That's why he didn't have you. Jesus didn't have you. Jesus took one look, he's like, oh, you completely put on my team. You're completely with me. You are compromised. You are one of mine. That says, oh, says how will it. In fact, Jesus says, you know what? Even though they kind of like cast him out, they're not one of the best guys. He even said, hey, this man is the son of Abraham. He like reinstated him. He's more the son of Abraham than some of the compromisers. And so as we go to pray here in just a moment, put your finger on your 2016. Okay? Think about this year. When you look back on this year, I just know it's just natural. It's just in us. There's something that we're fighting inside. It's like, all over the world. Following Jesus is a lot of work sometimes. It's just too easy to compromise a little bit. But at the end of the year, anything that you feel guilty for, whatever, that's just the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I've got your shirt for you. I've got your shirt for you. Anything where you've got there, that's a place of frustration that you can just give up. You can just hand it over and have 2016 where it's like, oh, this is my prayer. I'm so on your team this year. It means crying out if you're telling me to shut up. It means running ahead and climbing a tree because people are going to think I'm a fool. God, I'll be there. God, thank you so much, Lord. You know, the annoying blind beggar, Lord. I'm just the shameful taxpayer, the shameful enemy of the town, God. You would stay in my house, Lord. If I just would just join the team, Lord, you'd just so happily just take me in. You would eat at my house, Lord. You would dine at everyone's house here. You would just be zealous for you, Lord. And just put you on in every way.
Oh, goodness.
Just trade in our whole life in every space, Lord God. How happy that would make you. And how much frustration you would leave on them. Well, God, I ask that you would help us this week just to open our eyes to things where, just because naturally, a whole lot of things are going to frustrate our walk. Give us the courage and the strength to say, no matter what, if I have to cry out loud to you, Lord God, I'm going to do it, Lord. If I have to climb a tree for you, Lord, I'll do it, Lord. I want to have my 2016 for you. Giving up the frustration, it's all live for you. God, let that prayer live in us this week. I ask that in Jesus' holy name. And I thank you.
Yeah.
Honoring to you, help us, Lord, to find those people that need the encouragement.